Today's conversation is going to be around the planning. And what we mean by planning in medical real estate and ambulatory surgery planning is a comprehensive term. It's a collaborative process where somebody like Steve Kristoff, who we'll be talking to in just a minute, helps both providers and patient input, team input, all come together with architects and contractors to create a design that exceeds expectation. That starts with clarifying what are the outcomes that we're looking for and ensuring that we're making those decisions informed and upfront to avoid rework and cost, and instead, like I said, designing a project that exceeds our expectations. So with that, I'm excited to introduce you to Steve Kristoff, NextCore Senior Vice President of Design and Innovation. So I'm excited today to welcome Steve Kristoff to the show. Steve is one of my favorite people that I've gotten to work
on. Oh, that's kind. You're one of my favorite people.
And the reason that I really enjoy working with Steve is he's passionate. And I think that's a really, really important characteristic. And just exceptionally knowledgeable on design, creativity, and lean. So welcome to the show, Steve.
Oh, thank you, Carolyn. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can you tell our surgeons that are listening here just a little bit about your background and what you love to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I am an architect by trade. I have spent 35 years designing healthcare buildings from all kinds of ambulatory buildings. I have designed well over 10 million square feet of outpatient ambulatory centers across the United States. And for NextCore, my role is design coordination. And what that really means is leading our development team and our clients through a process to find the right architect for the development and work with the architect and their team to position the talent on the team to hit the key performance measures that each of the constituents want to hit and make sure that our tenant clients have the absolute best building, the highest performing building that they could possibly have. So that that really means that I'm managing and overseeing. But like you said, I am passionate about buildings, and who wouldn't be? They're exciting times to partake in creating a new building that will bring energy to practices, to physicians, their care teams, and their patients.
So I really appreciate that, Stephen. I know as you and I have been out working on projects like this, we've tried to think of a picture, if you will, give surgeons a picture in their mind about your role and what this looks like. And the most recent attempt we've had, right, okay, is to use a table.
Okay.
Right? Where I think in this conversation, the surgeon is at the head of the table.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
It's the surgeon that is probing and thinking about a future where they're investing, developing a medical building and an ASC. And we're participants at the table. Is that correct?
I see it that way, too. What I often see, and you've seen this as well, is that for sure, the physician's at the head of the table and they're trying to pull together a development, right? And that means you're quarterbacking a lot of different positions because it's not just design, it's also construction and cost. And it's not just that, it's also entitlement, it's site selection, it's demographics, it's market study, it's business planning. And there are a lot of different players at the table.
Right.
And NextCore sits at the other end of the table and helps quarterback through something that we've done hundreds of times. And I think that's where the design team appreciates, our consultants appreciate the leadership that NextCore brings to this process because they're not iterating on false starts or let's try this, let's try that, let's try that. We know how this road goes and we know how to help the physician team be successful in leading an efficient process and an effective process and delivering a high performance ambulatory building that they wouldn't otherwise get.
Yeah,
they're not easy to do.
I really appreciate that. And one of the things that I value most, and I think it's really important for our surgeons to hear, is when you and I kick off what I'm going to call the planning sessions, right?
Yeah, right.
We first ask them about their KPIs, right? Their key performance indicators.
Absolutely.
Can you comment a little bit about what that looks like and what we want to achieve for clarity purposes?
Absolutely. Our approach at NextCore isn't to stamp out, you know, the same hamburger every time, right? Everything is, this is a custom experience.
Have it your way.
Exactly. Yeah. So now along with that, we have experience delivering a broad array of outcomes, but there are specific business outcomes, performance outcomes, treatment outcomes, and growth outcomes that we need to understand as we plan through this development. And in some cases, we have to bring additional KPIs to the table and say, but here's three things you may want to add to your list, because this might be important to think about and that might be important to think about. And we've seen, you know, through our experience that this one is really important. So it's really helping the team do something that is not their core work,
right?
There are a lot of physicians that have developed buildings before and have done this, but they haven't done nearly as many as we have, and they haven't worked with a team as big as this professional team is, that's as well orchestrated. Now, I could be wrong, but I haven't met one yet.
Yeah, so I think the opportunity and the experience that I've had with you is really starting with probing questions.
For sure.
To help our surgeons understand more of what they want. And to your point, seeing where they're at and then adding our national ideas and expertise to ultimately come up with a starting point for the project.
That's right. And there's some basic things that, mm-hmm. that we're always going to hit. In terms of, you know, when you think about a development, you think about the immediate need, but you should also be thinking about the future need, right?
Absolutely.
So we want to help shape that. And we want to educate about the building platform. And when I say the building platform, what I really mean is the dimensional modularity of the actual building floor plates that you're making. And there are dimensional numbers that make sense in healthcare. So long by so wide and so high.
Right.
And if you miss on those numbers, you are going to prevent yourself from future iterations that bring flexibility, that bring performance, and all of the things that we want to get into. So a lot of things to think about right off the bat. The program and the service mix and the physician complement and the range of composition of services that are being provided at this location is a really big question. And I think that's where you and I work so well together, given your experience in asking those questions. It's easy for me to understand if this is what the center is going to have in it, and we're going to do, you know, these specialties, and we're going to anchor this with, you know, maybe it has an urgent care component or maybe it doesn't. You know, what is the imaging platform? What is the surgical platform? What is the specialty mix that's driving the surgical platform? All those things tell us a lot about the design of the building.
Right.
And understanding just those big questions first is the first step. At one point, we used a methodology called the 10 big questions.
And yes.
The 10 big questions were very succinct and had an order and a flow to them. And I've learned over time, this is a methodology that's a decade and a half old, and it's a very good starting point. Some of the questions go away, and you know, in some cases, there's really only 7.5. So I used to get
so
hung
you're
up
flexible.
On. I am flexible. I used to get hung up on the number, but those questions are still there inherently, and they absolutely start with understanding what are the program elements that need to be in this building to be successful, and then they go from there.
And one of the points that I think is so important in deciding the business elements or the clinical elements in a building has to relate to the changing patient expectations. We're seeing such a shift there, right?
Patients oh, yeah,
want,
I think so.
Is, you know, as we've talked patients want a one-stop shop to the extent that they can, right?
No patient gets up in the morning and says, oh, I can't wait to get to the doctor today, right?
Well, not that we've met anyone.
Right. And the other side of this is outcomes, right? Patient outcomes are also important to patients.
For sure.
And they're incredibly important to providers and health systems as well. The design of the building can help drive better outcomes. And I think about patient satisfaction and what patients really want. They want better outcomes for themselves. They want to be healthier. And oftentimes they are their own worst problem. Mm-hmm. And non-adherence is the biggest money cost in healthcare. And so now and you're probably wondering, well, Steve, where are you going with this? We're talking about design. I'm really talking about design because I think that patients will come to this ambulatory care center and they will spend an hour for a 10-minute encounter with a provider. And that is not a knock on a provider, and it could be longer, but providers would spend as much time as they could, but they've also got volumes and they got to do other things.
Right.
So what happens in that 50 minutes that they're on this site? And our perspective is this is where we attack non-adherence by creating right. opportunities for education.
For sure.
We don't want people to walk into a building and the first thing they get is a stack of paperwork and a division of motor vehicles desk in front of them with somebody that's like, take a number and sit down.
Number two, exactly.
That is a missed opportunity. Right. And we have to think about the flow of patients in and what is that experience on the front end, during, and on the back end, and even before you get to the site. So this is all part of design, right?
Absolutely. Integrating the technology. It's an outcome that we want to think about more and more for the future, right?
The best buildings we've done have been thought about in a different way.
Absolutely.
And it's not because of us. It's because we're asking the right questions of the people that are going to live in those buildings who want and have a higher expectation of what a high performance ambulatory building is.
So Steve, you've talked a little bit about what patients are expecting and how one of our goals is to get them to show up for care, to be compliant, using the spaces to educate them.
Yes.
One of the other expertise that you have is really helping providers be efficient, be available to their team coordination. Right. Comment a little bit about how we think about building specifically for physicians.
Absolutely. It's so important. In my career, I've interviewed over 1,000 physicians easy. And I've learned so much listening to what's important to them, watching them work, understanding what their flow is, how they communicate, what their volumes are, what their thresholds for being productive are. And these are the takeaways. The most important thing to a provider is time. And all providers want to spend more time with patients and deliver the highest quality care. Like I said earlier, they have a business to run as well. So how that time gets spent is inherently important. The number one element that can save providers time are their care teams.
Right.
And so now all of a sudden we have another character in the building, which is the care team. And they have different needs. Mm-hmm. And the care team also wants different things. They want a beautiful environment. They want
natural light, color.
They want an efficient workspace. And most important, they want to be able to see
that
sight line. Because I have studied physician flows. The most important thing in keeping a physician moving is the sight line between an MA and a provider. Mm-hmm. A good MA knows exactly where that provider is. They know when they come out of an exam room. They can look at each other in the eye and they know, oh, I got results waiting.
I got
orders to follow up on this.
Yeah.
I've seen that so many times and it's a little bit of an amazing dance.
Mm-hmm.
So we've developed modules and we've tracked and we've put analytics on this and we can show providers exactly the benefits of clinical modules. We've tested them. We've gone back and done time trials. We've done tests over productivity tests over year, over year, over year to see if they're hitting productivity goals, and we can prove it.
Right.
So we're at that place right now. And to start a new development of a new building and not want to stand on the knowledge, the ladder of knowledge that we built over in architects and NextCore and other builders that work with us is a little bit like, it seems silly to me. We just know so much.
Right. And part of that is how to make choices up front, right? So I've heard some of our providers or people that we're working with think of quality and efficiency and a beautiful building as a forced choice against budget.
Oh.
But I've seen you help us do both, right?
Yeah.
Hit our budget and be cost efficient and spend money in the right places that make a difference to outcomes.
Well, here's a little secret. Great design doesn't cost more.
Thank you.
It should cost less.
Exactly. When you do it right.
When you do it right. And
how do we help change that thought process and help people understand you can do both and be efficient?
A lot of different ways. So at least 80% of the time when we start a development, there's the occupant has an idea of how big the building should be. It's right. Almost always bigger than what it really should be. We sure. Almost always reduce the size of the building by 15-20%, sometimes even more.
Square footage is money. So great.
That's exactly right. So there's value in that.
Sure.
And there are also times where you need to spend money on quality materials.
Yes.
You don't need the most expensive material. And some patients find that offensive. They want to pay less for healthcare, not more for healthcare. Mm-hmm. So finding the balance between the right materials that are effective. Cleanliness is a huge score for patients. We've got to address that.
So important from a safety perspective.
That's absolutely right. Exactly. So all those things come down to this, a methodology where we make cost-driven decisions. So we're not sitting around looking at drawings and saying, well, I like this and I like that and this would be better. We're looking at, here's the cost of this. Here's the value in it. Now, here are the disadvantages to it. And here's the alternative to that. And here's the cost of the alternative. Advantages, disadvantages. And we're leading through a process of informed design and informed decision making. And that's the key to what I do is bring that structure, bring that order, and bring that discipline to the process of design and bring the best experts to the table to help us get informed design. So the cheapest designers isn't always the money saved. I mean, you're gonna spend a lot more money making bad decisions.
I really appreciate that. I'm just gonna go back for a minute to close here and talk about the flexibility for future.
Right.
So as I think about in my career, I've seen the movement, for example, of spine and orthopedic cases move predominantly, quite frankly, from inpatient to outpatient.
Right.
And now if we pivot a little bit and think about the future, what I say to you all the time is I want to design for a future we don't know. Right.
Right.
Something I say all the time. I think the most concrete example right now is moving more and more cardiac services to outpatient.
Sure.
Help our surgeons and physicians listening to this think about how do you build that flexibility in so that future clinical services that move to outpatient, our building is prepared for that.
Right. Well, future-proofing buildings, right?
Yes.
So buildings where we do not want to memorialize the way we do
the
things today.
Or today.
Right? That's right. Not what we want to do. We want to imagine how we can make it better and where it might go in the future. And the first and best step is to embrace what we call in design the universal platform. It is a universal grid structure of both steel columns and concrete floors in certain dimensional capabilities that
are
built around.
It's the numbers part you were talking
about. They're built around the dimensionality and function of healthcare functions, okay?
Yep.
Then that grid or open plan can be adapted over time. And we think about an ASC and we're thinking about, you know, is it a 4-2? Is it a 6-2? Is it a 2-2? What is it? And how does that grow over time? Well, guess what? We know exactly how many square foot each one of those modules are. And if we design a platform that's too small to grow a 4-2 into a 6-2, then guess what? We've building
limited ourselves
exactly
before we begin.
Exactly. And that's not just true for ASCs. It's also true for clinic space, right? So we know the dimensionality of clinic space, how big it is, how many exam rooms each pod should have that performs optimally. There's a point at which you have too many exam rooms in a pod, and there's a point at which you have too few.
Sure.
And there's a dimensionality to that. And guess what? They perfectly overlay with the dimensionality of an ASC and an imaging center. So there's some real science to how this works, Carolyn.
Well, and I'm sure providers that are so steeped in science are going to be able to appreciate that explanation.
That's right. And, you know, and also just thinking about how space works with a virtual visit, which has become a change
to
how we're delivering healthcare, and how that works inside of a clinic. And, you know, physical exams aren't going away either. And physical diagnostics and therapeutics aren't going away either. They will continue to evolve as reimbursement changes, as technology changes, and as demographics change, and the need for specific services in certain cohorts change.
Sure.
So we've got to be nimble with design, and we've got to be thinking about this in terms of future-proofing our assets and the investments that have been made in them.
Well, Steve, I really appreciate all your insights. I think you've
My pleasure.
Surgeons with lots to think about.
I think there are some great things to think about, and we can help them get through a process to deliver a fantastic, high-performing medical center.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. My pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed the conversation that I just had with Steve as much as I did. As part of the Ready Room, I want to leave you with some tips in your preparation for your journey into combining the resources that we've talked about and looking at a future where you're investing in real estate and ASCs. So my takeaways from this conversation with Steve included: design and planning is critically important, number one. Number two, it's a team sport. It needs to be done in a very collaborative fashion. And that time spent upfront pays dividends in the long run. And so ensure that you're asking the right questions and creating a team that lets you be at the head of the table and brings national expertise with your expertise to create the end product that you envision and that exceeds your expectations. Thank you so much for listening.